This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, April 9th, 2013. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, record a poem. One way to honor a poem is to memorize it. And I can't imagine anything that would please poets more than to hear that someone has taken the trouble to learn one of their poems by heart. Another less arduous way to honor a poem is to read it aloud. With that in mind, the Poetry Foundation has set up a way for people to record their own readings of their favorite poems and share them with the world, or at least the subset of the world that uses SoundCloud. Here to talk about this project and to listen to a few poems that people have already uploaded is Kathy Halley, the editor of PoetryFoundation.org. Kathy, the instructions on how to record and upload your favorite poems are up on our website, so we don't need to get into that here. But I wanted to ask you, when you read poetry, do you find yourself reading it aloud?
I do. I generally read something quietly to myself first, and then I will go through it a second time and read it aloud.
Mm-hmm. And what's the difference between hearing a poem and reading it aloud to yourself, or just reading it silently? What does reading it aloud do for the reader?
I think it allows you to try to understand the poem at a somatic level with your body and listen to the sounds of it instead of trying to use your mind to understand what it's trying to say or what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
So you can experience the poem as a performance.
Yeah. I find myself reading poems aloud frequently, and I close the door before I do that. You remember the scene from Apocalypse Now, the proof that Kurtz was crazy was that he would read T.S. Eliot aloud.
T.S. Eliot's terrific out loud.
I know, but it could be better. Marlon Brando reading is spectacular. But one feels a little self-conscious doing it, so I close the door. But I don't read a poem aloud because I want to find out more, but I just want to feel it in my mouth. There's something pleasurable about sounds that are architecturally put together really well to say them. It just gives you pleasure.
That's what makes a poem, or the sound of the words. And I think you discover things about a poem when you read it aloud that you would never have noticed before when it's on the page.
Mm-hmm. So this project started in celebration of National Poetry Month, right?
And, yes.
And many recordings have already been posted, a couple hundred at least, right?
More than 300.
More than 300, even though we're early into the month. Is there anything that you've noticed so far about the types of poems that people are recording?
It's been a pretty broad range, actually. Mm. Some people are recording children's poems. They've recorded some Shel Silverstein, I've noticed.
I've noticed a lot of Gerard Manley Hopkins.
A lot of Gerard Manley Hopkins.
Tongue twisters.
Yeah, and those are a real pleasure. If you get it right, you sort of feel good about yourself.
Yeah, they're not easy to read. So let's hear one. The poet and visual artist Bianca Stone read I Am Vertical by Sylvia Plath. Let's hear that.
I am vertical, but I would rather be horizontal. I'm not a tree with my roots in the soil, sucking up minerals and motherly love, so that each March I may gleam into leaf. Nor am I the beauty of a garden bed, attracting my share of awes and spectacularly painted. Unknowing, I must soon unpetal. Compared with me, a tree is immortal, and a flower head not tall, but more startling. And I want the one's longevity and the other's daring. Tonight, in the infinitesimal light of the stars, the trees and flowers have been strewing their cool odors. I walk among them, but none of them are noticing. Sometimes I think that when I am sleeping, I must most perfectly resemble them. Thoughts gone dim. It is more natural to me lying down. Then the sky and I are in open conversation, and I shall be useful when I lie down finally. Then the trees may touch me for once, and the flowers have time for me.
Like a lot of Sylvia Plath poems, it's hard not to hear that in the context of her suicide. The speaker seems to be yearning for rest, if not for death itself. Isn't that the way you heard that one?
It's called I Am Vertical, and yet she talks about being horizontal and wanting to be horizontal, and horizontalness as a way of communing with nature, almost,
yeah.
With flowers. The flowers have time for me. Isn't that the last line?
Yeah, the flowers will have time for me, or something like that.
It was making me think of Walt Whitman, for some reason, just this soul person standing by themselves with the infinitesimal stars.
Right. It's very transcendental. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I liked in the reading, it sounds like she did it right, looking at the poem while reading it on the computer, and was recorded by her computer. And I love the fact that there's a truck that you can hear backing up in the middle of it. These recordings are not perfect, and that's part of their charm.
That's exactly part of their charm.
And they don't need to be perfectly recorded.
One of the things I love about the project, too, is that some people are reading the same poem, and it's the different renditions are just tremendous.
What are some of the poems that have been read more than once? Do you know?
God's Grandeur. A bunch of Hopkins, actually. God's Grandeur has been read a couple of times. The Love Song of Jail for Prufrock. I think maybe 3 or 4 times that's been read. People want to show off their virtuosity. They can speak Italian and in the beginning. And
okay, let's hear another one. This voice does not need an introduction.
To the Virgins to Make Much of Time by Robert Herrick. Gather ye rosebuds while ye may, old time is still a-flying, and the same flower that smiles today, tomorrow will be dying. The glorious lamp of heaven, the sun, the higher he's a-getting, the sooner will his race be run, and nearer he's to setting. That age is best which is the first, when youth and blood are warmer, but being spent, the worse and worst, time still succeed the former. Then be not coy, but use your time, and while ye may, go marry, for having lost but once your prime, you may forever tarry.
And that was, of course, Garrison Keillor reading To the Virgins to Make Much of Time by Robert Herrick. Now, Kathy, Garrison Keillor and his daily public radio program, The Writer's Almanac, has probably done as much as anyone and anything to bring poetry into the everyday lives of Americans. On The Writer's Almanac, he reads a poem every day and posts them on The Writer's Almanac website. Now, he stopped by the offices of the Poetry Foundation to record that poem.
He did. We had an open house when we moved into our new building.
Uh-huh.
And Garrison Keillor came in and he read that poem, and then he made me read it with him.
Oh, did he?
Yes, if you look on Record a Poem, you can find the two of us reading, and you'll see how talented he actually is. I am his foil.
Well, there's a couple of recordings of people reading together, kids reading poems together. There's a wonderful recording of a young boy and his grandfather reading Susie Asado by Gertrude Stein in this haphazard way, which is the perfect way to read that poem. You listen to a lot of these as they come kind of over the transom before you post them. You're not editing or anything like that. You're just listening to make sure it's acceptable and putting it up. What are some of the virtues of people's readings, and what are some of the problems with people's readings that when you hear a poem?
You can feel and hear people's humanity in them. So as they read, you'll hear that they're nervous, or if they're proud and they know a poem very well, you can hear that it comes through in their voice a lot. That's one of the things I like a lot about it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not looking for perfect readings here at all. I'm looking for people's personality.
Yeah, and that comes through very clearly in a lot of these readings. It's wonderful. Let's try another reading. This one's by someone by the name of Tracy Paris. It's Margaret Atwood's poem, Variation on the Word Sleep. This is something I'd never heard, and it's really something.
Variations on the word sleep. I would like to watch you sleeping, which may not happen. I would like to watch you sleeping. I would like to sleep with you, to enter your sleep as its smooth dark wave slides over my head, and walk with you through that lucent, wavering forest of blue-green leaves, with its watery sun and 3 moons, towards the cave where you must descend, towards your worst fear. I would like to give you that silver branch, that small white flower, the one word that will protect you from the grief at the center of your dream, from the grief at the center. I would like to follow you up that long stairway again and become the boat that would row you back carefully, aflame in 2 cupped hands, to where your body lies beside me, and as you enter it as easily as breathing in. I would like to be the air that inhabits you for a moment only. I would like to be that unnoticed and that necessary.
That is such a lovely, intimate reading of a very, very intimate poem. That's kind of perfect.
It's pretty perfect.
Yeah. in that reading, you can really hear the personality of Tracy Paris in some ways. And, you know, she's close to the mic. It's almost like you're right there with her.
Here's what I'd say about Tracy Paris just listening to that reading of that poem. She's a very calm person.
Uh-huh. Do people comment on the poems at all, or is it just straight reading? Are they allowed to say anything about them?
That's straight poetry. People are just reading straight poetry.
And what's the ultimate purpose here? This is going to go on for the month of April, and then is it going to keep going?
It will. We'll just leave it up there. Uh-huh. The point is to share poetry and to spread love. Uh-huh. It is. And it's also to encourage people to read aloud, because there is such pleasure there. And that's the point, really, of poetry in some ways, is pleasure.
Yeah, and people can share it because SoundCloud will allow you to click on it and share it, send it to your friends or send it to whoever you want. You can hook it up with Facebook. You can socially network it.
Sure. One of the things that we thought we would do for Mother's Day is to encourage people to record a poem for their mother and send it to them. So it's almost, or on Valentine's Day, it's almost like an audio Valentine or an audio card. You can read a poem, pick a poem specifically for one person and then share it with them. You can email it to them.
Can I do one?
Yes. I hope you will.
I will do one.
You'll get addicted. Yeah. There are certain people who've submitted maybe 20 or 30. I have to sort of calm down and tell them, I've said,
yes,
you can't put every single one of your poems up.
Then you get a letter from the Poetry Foundation to cease and desist.
Enough of you.
Kathy Halley is the editor of poetryfoundation.org, where you can go to find out how to listen to these recordings and how to make and submit your own. Let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.